This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown Podcast and our review of Coming to America. It is the sequel to Coming to America, but it's still called Coming to America. You get it. It's the Coming to America 2 is what it is. They put a 2 in the title.
His name is Wayne. My name is Paul. Straight into it then for this very recently released sequel, 33 years in the making, directed by Craig Brewer, produced by Kevin Misher and Eddie Murphy himself. It's written by Kenya Barris, Barry W. Blaustein, and David Sheffield, and of course based on characters by Eddie Murphy, starring he, Arsenio Hall, Jermaine Fowler, Leslie Jones, Tracy Morgan, Kiki Lane, Shari Headley, Wesley Snipes, James Earl Jones.
And everyone who ever appeared in the original.
A bunch of, John Amos and the likes. Mm. And a bunch of cameos that you probably weren't expecting when started this film. The budget was $60 million and it was going to be released worldwide in cinemas. But of course, COVID had other plans, which is why it dropped onto Amazon Prime of late 110 minutes long. Wayne, what's it about?
Okay, so Eddie Murphy, the African monarch Akeem, he's in Africa chilling, he's having a good time, he got three kids, he got that same woman that he hooked up with in the first one, and then he finds out she looks fine, definitely. Definitely, all good. He finds that he has a long-lost son in the United States and must return to America to meet his unexpected heir, build a relationship with his ass, take his ass back to Africa, and then make him the king.
But, well, because he's worried about his neighbor, played by Wesley Snipes, who is this warlord who wants to marry his daughter off.
Yes, and it's a very weird thing which we'll get into, but that's the whole deal.
There it is. That is Coming to America. Wayne, in brief, your thoughts in general.
Dog shit.
Oh!
This,
I know.
I'm telling
you. Dog shit.
Yes, because, look. You should know that I have a very deep relationship with Eddie Murphy's early movies, okay? Like Boomerang, Coming to America, Beverly Hills Cop, fuck it, even The Golden Child, all right? All that shit. I liked all that shit, all right? A lot, okay? And so,
Delirious Roar.
Delirious Roar is concert movies, but absolutely, okay? So, I mean,
we made a reference to it earlier today, just between you and
exactly,
yourself.
Exactly, it happens all the time. Yep. It's been 100 years. So, I'm like, Coming to America, the first one, was everything because it was so cool. It was R-rated, all right? So it was a rude comedy. Well-known thing about Eddie Murphy, 80s comedies in general. God. 80s comedies. Yep. What?
No. Yeah. I'm right with you on this.
I know, right?
This is the worst thing about this film.
It's
undoubtedly
so PG-13. But the original one was rude. It had fuck in it. Like, you know, yes, fuck you too. You know, that shit in the middle. And
fuck
then like
America.
Exactly. And like, you know, the royal penis is clean, titties hanging out. Not that that's a prerequisite, but it made it an edgier show. It was edgy
was an
in the 80s.
Film.
80s film, okay? They did a lot of stuff, right? This, dude, first of all, from the first frames, I can see how much smaller this film is. I know you said $60 million.
Yeah, I was surprised it was that much.
That seems like a lot, because a lot of this shit is like, it starts in much the same way with the palatial thing and the palace.
Well, it starts with we're
zooming over the Zamunda. Yeah, you know.
And into the palace.
Yeah, which would all be fine, but I can see that the palace is small and the set is small, okay? I can just feel that his bedroom is a shit little bedroom, man. It should be like a big, sweeping, massive thing with like a bed in the corner because it's huge. It's about the size of your bedroom.
It's not true.
It kind of is, right? And it's like, and I looked at fucking, and even the set is like, the palace walls are all like taupe color. I'm like, bitch, everyone knows palace walls are white with pearl accents, okay? This place looks like an office block to me, right? I did not like that at all. So, but long story short, I'll tell you this, just a rehash of everything. In the shittest possible way.
Wow.
A comedy that didn't make me laugh.
All right, so you may have heard Wayne talk for 2 or 3 minutes
there,
but what it actually boils down to is this.
I'm not Negatron, you asshole.
I'm Negatron.
This is not Negatron. Wait a minute. Why are you such a bitch? Why you won't be like this? Does that mean you did not?
I didn't hate this film. It's fine.
Oh my God.
I think I'm really benefited from two things. One, I watched Coming to America in the late 80s when it came out like everybody else. And I laughed at the time. You know, we were 13, give or take 12, 13 years old. And I thought it was funny. I don't think I've ever rewatched it again. Like, I don't have the same affection.
Oh, God, I've seen it so many times.
And in fact, I think I fell so out of love with Eddie Murphy once he officially announced fuck everybody. I just like making money off movies. I don't give a shit about
art. I know.
Look, which is the fucking most narcissistic, shitty thing to say.
To be fair, the thing he actually said was, "What reputation? I stopped worrying about thing of whatever $40 million ago or something." Like, he said something like that, where he was basically saying, "Fuck you, I'm too rich, eat a dick." Right?
Yeah, but exactly. I think you don't need to say it. We know you're rich.
No, I do believe what's happening there is that he was getting a lot of heat from people for making shit like Pluto Nash or whatever. Right?
No,
and he was like, "Fuck." And I think that was him just saying, "I'm not giving him a pass.
I've hated on him hard ever since." And Dolomite Is My Name helped to rectify him in my eyes to some degree. Like, here's him trying and here's him really making an effort.
I do agree.
Right. So,
and he's supposed to come back to stand up, but then COVID fucked with it.
Right. So he's redeeming himself in my eyes, and this film's the next thing that. So I watched Coming to America, the first one, again, probably only for the second
time.
Did you?
It would have been like watching it twice.
2 days before watching this one.
Yeah.
So I had that benefit of, I've watched the original. Now I see just how directly they're playing off the jokes again. And none of them are as good.
No, that's the problem.
It's just the callbacks, right?
I remember everything about the first one, so I didn't even have to watch it again.
Fair enough. Do
you know what I mean? So
I think I benefited, though, from that. Like, it was, that was a funny bit. And I was watching it with my partner, and I was explaining to her, this is a reference to that. And he told her to bark and jump up and down, and she's still doing that 33 years later.
Yeah, that's, I guess, funny. I don't know.
You know, I mean, it wasn't laugh out loud, the royal penis is clean funny.
Well, they didn't even say that. They said the royal private is clean to that girl, that,
Leslie Jones.
Leslie Jones. So, and I'm like, you can't even say vagina. Like, what? This is shit. Right?
But all that said, so I had an affection for it. I liked it enough. I don't think the film's a good film, though.
No, it's not a good film
because it is just trading completely on the last film. It's just revisiting the same set pieces over and over again.
Mm.
And good sequels will do that, but they'll improve upon them.
Yes.
This one doesn't.
This is just calling back those things with the same actor 20, 30, whatever years later. And
you've shat on it. I've said, I'm lukewarm on it. I bet you have the same score.
Probably. I haven't even thought of the score yet because I was just sitting there I was watching
that
it going,
as we talk.
I found this quite a difficult watch, I'll be honest with you. I was sitting there going, this is a dragon.
It's way too long.
It's way too long. It's 110
change?
Minutes.
110? So the first one's like 117 minutes and flies by comparison.
Exactly. The first one was, I was upset when it ended. This one here, you know what they're doing with these, like, because there's a lot of, in the first one, there was also these sort of dance numbers, kind of, right? But they were for a purpose to show that this African nation has
the
this
culture.
Rich history. Yeah, you're like that, right? Okay. This is now what Salt and Pepper turns up, and like, you know,
John,
what I mean?
Legend.
John Legend, and I'm like, what? And then, and you know,
I did laugh when Salt and Pepper turned up though.
In Vogue, I love In Vogue, and I'm like, they're singing a Salt and Pepper song, and then Salt and Pepper turned up,
and
I'm like,
that's who the girls are.
Yeah, they're like, what you gonna mean?
They're good singers. Holy shit!
Yeah, In Vogue did the Set It Off music video, the movie. Yeah, that's it. I mean, that's fine, but the spectacle is there. It's like it's almost like a production designer shot it. Like, it's very, I find like. Very tight shots of the performance, where the previous one was like you see the palace and the performance within the palace. This is like real tight. I'm like, did Tony Scott direct this? There's a lot of stuff like that.
That would be hard.
I know. But so for me, it just like it missed tonally very hard for me. So that's why I'm harsh on it.
Well, I think the other thing to emphasize is that Akeem, I don't think his character arced well at all.
Thank you.
I think the guy who was set up at the end of the first film, he's broken the mold. He breaks the rules. His father thinks, James Earl Jones, thinks he's going to sow his wild oats, but he's not. He's going to find love, and that's exactly what he does. And he's such a likable guy.
Mm.
Is it Semi? What's Arsenio Hall's character?
I don't know. That guy, yeah.
Yeah, like, and he's a bit of a contrast. He's a little bit more
fuck rat, yeah.
He loves what he's got. He lies about being Akeem as well, and da da da. In this film, it's almost like, yeah, I get it. Heavy is the brow that wears the crown and all that kind of stuff. But he's arced so far away from the person he was in the first one. Now he's all about tradition and just following the rules. And
where was this Maverick Prince before?
I don't get it. I don't think it gels at all.
That's only one of the problems, dog. Let's talk about the actual why the movie, for me, doesn't work. It's like, there are things here which they've put in there and they're like, can you just believe this, please? And it doesn't work, all right? For example, why does Prince fucking Akeem give a rat's ass about Wesley Snipes trying to kill him? Why doesn't the kingdom have an army?
Yeah.
Wesley Snipes comes in with his army. Like, fucking if Blade 2's got an army, surely the king of fucking Zamunda's got an army. Do you know what I mean? No one turns up. It's only his daughters and fucking Arsenio Hall.
Exactly.
Why? And this guy's like, I'm going to kill you. It's like, you don't say that to the king. King, go kill his ass.
You don't say that to the king in the king's courtyard and expect to walk away.
Exactly. Yeah. And also, like, it's Africa. Someone has an army. Come on.
I don't think that's fair. I think every country has an army.
That's what I'm saying. I'm expected to believe any of this can happen. I know it's a comedy. It still needs to work. And then, like, the boy, like, he, at the beginning, you see him like interviewing for a job. So it seems like his character is aspirational because he's talking to Tracy Morgan, his uncle, who's a bit of a dropkick, whatever. You know, goes in.
Tracy Morgan playing to type.
Oh, God. Look, I'm sorry, but I hate Tracy Morgan.
Me too.
Like, it's just not shit. My thing. It's shit, all right? But why do they keep employing him? Anyway, he goes in and he's like, oh, I'm this guy. I want to do better for myself. I'm studying. I did this. I'm applying for a job. Then when he goes to Zamunda, he's a fucking hood again. I'm like, wait. Is he aspirational or not? Why is he like a gangster? What is that?
Well,
like,
it served the plot, didn't it? That's all it was.
It served the plot, but it didn't serve like the respecting the character at all.
I agree. There is some weirdness there as well.
I was thinking that. Do you know what? I'm surprised that you're okay with this film because I was watching it going, I can feel Paul hating this film, especially Leslie Jones.
I hate her too.
Fucking horrendous. Just her. Not her.
She was fine
performance,
in like Ghostbusters.
Like, yeah, she was fine.
Her character here is so grating.
It's so annoying, yeah. Right? And it's just, and also, it's like the lines are stupid. Like the jokes don't hit.
The jokes
don't hit.
This film. If you were talking about a comedy ratio, like rewatching the first film, I laughed out loud 5 times. I chuckled twice in this film.
Yeah, and where did you chuckle in this film?
I can't even remember, to be honest.
Okay, I can tell you where.
And they were, both of them were. I chuckled back at the throwback. I think that was a really good part of the film. The throwback to the original. Incorporating the footage.
That was the best thing about it.
Having the effects on there, which were really good.
Yeah. I mean, look. Yeah,
very very slim, but very
good. You don't think it's a little bit of a cheat to just play lines for like whole reels from the previous film? I don't know.
No, but when Leslie Jones mounts him and whatever, like the youngification works really well.
Oh, yeah, there's a bit of that. Yeah, you're right. It was, yeah, which maybe that's where all the fucking money went. Because the only scenes I laughed at were the barbershop scenes. Where those guys were saying, like, you know, I think in the trailer, like, the barber refers to Kima's, hey, what can I do for you, Hotel Rwanda? You know? Shit like that's funny. So,
is it, this is completely an innocent question.
Yeah.
We know how wrong it is, and everyone accepts how wrong it is to do blackface. Yeah. Is it okay for Eddie Murphy to do whiteface?
In theory, no, but in practicality, fine.
Is it because, well, as a minority, it's okay to go the other
way? Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Right. As Chris Rock said, sometimes when you got a lot of shit, you can't say as much shit. Right? And that's the whole deal. Is like if you're in a position of like
power.
Yeah.
Right.
You can't bark at shit that's being done to you in the same way.
Right.
Yep. Chris Rock said,
fair enough.
If you want to say shit,
just
get rid of some shit.
Question. Innocent question. Just wasn't sure.
No, I mean, it's a fair point, but like, good luck fighting that cause.
No. So, I'm not marking it down that.
Yeah.
In 1988, hilarious. Now I'm like, ooh, I'm a little bit uncomfortable.
Interesting. I was sitting there going, I was just looking at the makeup going, am I still buying this? Because at the time,
I was amazed how good it was in 1988.
Man, in 1988, I did not know it was Eddie Murphy until at the end they did the Eddie Murphy and Eddie Murphy. I know! No one did because it was such a good thing. That's why it was amazing you could play a white Jewish guy.
Rick Baker did it back then. I don't know if he did or consulted on this film as well because I think he's retired, but geez, it was good.
It was amazing. Back then, it was basically a feature of the film, right? So, I mean, that's what's cool shit.
Yeah, look, all right. So, I think we talked a lot about this without spoiling the plot at all. Let's hit the spoiler button and talk a bit more along those lines, whether that worked for you. But I will add one last thing before we do so.
Bring it.
And that is, hated Wesley Snipes' character and how ridiculous he was.
Okay, I hated his character, but I didn't mind his performance. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I agree with you. Like,
because he's like dancing up behind
really
the guys.
He's hamming it up and he's really enjoying that
part.
Well,
it was like one of the most interesting things to watch.
The dumbest thing ever. Like, how are these people warlords?
Not at all.
It just doesn't make any sense.
That scene in the...
Stop trying to make it PG-13.
Yes!
Right? And the lack of swearing.
Can I ask you,
if
you saw this in the cinema...
Oh, my
you would be like,
lower.
What the fuck is this shit, all right?
My grade would be lower. More importantly, like, it's like, if there is Deadpool 3, and I'm hearing rumors, for example, at the moment, that Ryan Reynolds may walk away. He might walk away because they're Disneyfying it, and they want to tone it down. They're still going to let it be R, but they don't want it to be as hard R.
This is bullshit.
As Deadpool 1
this
and 2.
This is bullshit.
Right? You're just missing the brand.
Exactly.
You're trying to make money, but why? Because it doesn't make any sense. Anyone who's got nostalgic links to this film is our age or older.
Exactly.
Right? No one who's 13 is going to watch this movie.
Agreed.
If they haven't seen the first one. If they've seen the first one, they're okay to watch the second one. It's the dumbest fucking decision I can possibly conceive of when it comes to this sequel. Let's PG-13 it.
Yeah, that actually makes complete sense. Why would you try and make it for younger people when there's none of them that give
and
a shit?
And the studio's going, oh, we'll get more bums in seats if we do that pre-COVID. But the reality is... No, because no one who's young would bother to see this film unless they'd seen the original. And if they could see the original, stop belaboring the point.
Yeah. No, it's a stupid, weird move. It's a weird move.
Daft. Right, I got off that from the Wesley Snipes bit. I was just going to say, I found he was ridiculous and just so he was so over the top in an
only
already
one
ridiculous
of the
over the
top,
film.
Things here. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, there we are. That's our general reactions to, if we're on for a long time, Coming to America, we'll give some small spoiler reactions and then wrap it up.
You can't handle the truth.
All right, Wayne. take it away. What did you think of the plot? How predictable was this plot?
Oh, don't even worry about it. I didn't even think about the plot. I went, yeah, I guess what comes now? I guess he's going to come back and be like
I was like, well, myself and my fiance, she fell asleep during the film. That's how good it was.
Okay.
And she went to bed. But we both said 15 minutes in the film, oh, well, clearly the eldest daughter becomes the queen.
Yes, because she's too powerful as a character.
Clearly the son won't become the king and Wesley Snipes will get his ass kicked. Oh, amazing. We are.
You know what? It's fine for oracles. It's fine for a plot to be predictable in a comedy as long as they entertain you the whole way through. It's sure. For real, right? The reason I'm dark on this is that every single thing they tried failed. So, for example, they tried to do a meta reference to sequels where him and
that was all right.
That was shit. I'm like,
that was
come
an acknowledgement
on,
at least.
But then don't do it. You know, he's talking. They're basically saying this is a shit film. I know.
I'm all right with that.
All right. Well, then how about this whole okay to them to try? I guess to the scriptwriters trying to move this into the current century. They're making it about some girl power shit.
Yeah, that's
all right. No, that's fine. But again, you've missed the fucking point. Make me laugh. All right. I suppose it's fine, but it seemed a bit on the nose. Like, it just seemed like, I'm going to go back to Queens, and you can open your
barber
shop.
It's very, very obvious.
Not well done, which means it's shit. Like, I reckon I wouldn't even notice it if it was well done. All right? So, I don't know. And setting up most of the thing in Africa is kind of contrary to the point of the first film. The fish out of water thing seems to only work one way. Like, if Akeem's in America, it's funny. But if, like, the boy is here, it's like, well, we don't really understand, you know, Zamunda either. So what?
You know what else that I laughed?
What?
Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, that was a big surprise.
Because it was great, because it started with his voice. I'm like, I think that's Morgan Freeman.
And it cuts to him.
There he is.
And he's actually doing a shot.
Yeah.
So I think, like, I wonder how this works. Like, it's like, hey, Morgan Freeman, listen, we've only got a $60 million budget for this, and most of it's for CGI and makeup. So would you do this for fuck all? And
I would imagine that's a couple of days of work, tops.
It's a couple of days of work, but more also, like, if I was Morgan Freeman's agent, I'd be like, dude, stay relevant. Do a
here's
movie.
A couple hundred thousand dollars.
There you go, exactly.
Thanks for coming.
Exactly.
You know, that type of thing. I think that was relatively funny. But yeah, at the end of the day, if Akeem had been true to himself and the script had revolved around that better, I would have liked this film a lot more, even if it wasn't that funny. And it wasn't.
Akeem was really like benign in this film, don't you think? Like, he was just sort of, he was the guy learning a lesson, he was the guy sort of barely facilitating things. You had no specific, like, you felt that he was powerful because he was an ass-kicking martial arts staff, bullman, or whatever.
But in this film, he doesn't do any of that. Apart from lose to his daughters.
Yeah, but I mean, it's okay for his daughters to kick his ass.
That's
right?
Fine.
As long as he looks good while he's doing it, right? He seems to me to be not much of a king at all. He allows himself to get threatened by a warlord.
Yep.
You know, the people are taking over his palace. Oh no, the bad guys are coming. What the fuck? Just shoot him. All right? Like, it's just...
But again, it's PG-13 films. We can't do that. And we have to make...
But so they made
Wesley
it stupid.
Wesley Snipes and his warlord army ridiculous.
Well, you know what? Again, you made this point, but like Prince Akeem is a sexist asshole at the end. Like, kind of.
Well, because he eventually comes to his senses.
He's like,
he
woman,
would.
You don't talk to me like this shit, right? And I'm like, yes, that's why Akeem probably does talk, but...
But not him.
Not him.
Not the way that he was.
Because he liked women and he went to fucking...
Well, not to, he liked women. He wanted someone he loved and
exactly.
He wouldn't treat...
To respect. Exactly.
Treat the woman he loved that way because her points were valid. They weren't out of line.
No.
I don't think.
But he was fighting against it and it's like, what? So just
because
you're
the
old,
king
you'd be... Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So it's not his character.
And we have to mention James L. Jones who does die in the course of the film. We all need to prepare ourselves. He looked very sick.
And you know what?
There's a reason he did not move through this entire shoot.
Yeah. And
so,
you know,
and I'm not joking about this. I just think I'm preparing myself. This is going to be a dark day.
Absolutely. And I think to myself this, though. Like, let's say you're James Earl Jones, right? And you know you're maybe close to the end, right? Someone says, listen, there's a role in a movie where you die. He's like, bring it on, motherfucker. I'll work until this shit is over.
Act the shit out of that.
Exactly, right? So, and there's the one thing that I did laugh at is that their news network in Zamunda is called ZNN, right?
Right.
And James Earl Jones does the actual voice for CNN. Like, this is CNN.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, so they did it here. This is CNN. I was like, oh, that's pretty funny. So
I missed that. Okay.
Anyway, that's kind of fine. But, yeah, look, I don't know. All I can say to you is that this thing, I remember getting more and more pissed off as it went through. So it's probably not as bad as I think it is.
I don't think it's as bad as you
think it is. But it's definitely not as good as anyone might think it is because it's not good.
It's definitely not as good as it could have been. But what are we surprised, Wayne? Again,
yes,
Lego sequels,
you're hopeful,
decades
man.
Afterwards, don't work as a general rule. I think this is a better one. I mean, nothing's Mad Max Fury fucking Road, let's be
That's
clear.
That's what I'm saying. When does it really... that is one example of it working. Yep. There must be very few.
Not just working, knocking it out of the park.
It seems like a show. It seems like a show that we should do. Old ass sequels that actually worked. I don't know.
There are enough.
There's not enough.
10.
There's not 10. Exactly. Not
there
10.
Isn't. And this would not qualify. Zoolander 2 wouldn't qualify.
Oh my God. These are the biggest fall
This
from...
is better than Zoolander 2.
Yeah, you're right.
A lot better.
Oh. Not shit. I don't know, man.
I mean, you know, it's like comparing.
I saw Zoolander 2 in the cinema, so I was like, "Oh my god,
that was so bad."
It was so bad.
We've got a review somewhere in our annals about that film.
So bad. I would never watch this again.
Nah,
I could. I know. I watched it in shifts because I was like, "This is boring."
Oh, no, I got through it all.
Really? Yep. Fucking, I did not like this at all. So,
all right, what's your score, Wayne? Give us a final roundup.
It's 29.
Oh, 29. you
can't handle the truth.
Holy shit!
Holy hell, son, you're about as useful as a cock flavored lollipop.
This is shit. This movie did not spark joy, as Marie Kondo would say.
Well, for Wayne, that's a bottom 10 of the year film.
Probably. Yeah, I was kind of pissed off. And you know what? My love for the original is affecting my score.
Yeah,
here.
All right.
No doubt.
Whereas I don't love the original. Absolutely. I was charmed watching it again for the second time. The original for me would be like a 70. I don't know. That's probably low by most people's standards.
No, it's 70. At least for the original for me.
I agree. I understand. Most people rate it higher. So this one I give a 52.
Fuck, you make it pass.
It passes by the barest of margins. I guess maybe the opposite to you, the goodwill I had for the first one carried us across the line, whereas for you, it hurt it.
Yeah, exactly what happened. There you are.
Yeah, that's
complex people.
Review. That's life. That's our review of Coming to America. What do you think? Did we get it right? Did we get it wrong? You can let us know via email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at thecountdownpc. You can like and follow the show on Podbean where we host. Check out the Facebook listener community, links in the show notes, and check out ccradio.com.au for some other great Aussie podcasts that we're in a network with, including Believe.
Believe.
Believe is that's a juggernaut of a show. Doesn't need any introduction, but If you like your conspiracy theories, if you like aliens and the like...
If you have been abducted by aliens, you better listen to that show. Literally, essential. It is for you.
Essential. And
it is about you.
Comic Confidential, the flagship show, the podcast, returns with all new hosts and combinations thereof and consistently entertaining. Do check out the boys and girls of CC Radio.
Booyah.
All right, that's it for us. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this is a message to Coming to America's producers...
Take it back!
...said Wayne.
Okay.
We'll catch you next time.
Yeah.